This meeting is now being recorded.
Well, I would like to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issues Call on the 19th of October, 2017. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. As a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking. With this, you may begin.
Good morning and good evening and good afternoon, everyone. 5:30 on my side, and I do realize that we'll be running into a cross-community call tonight, I believe. This morning. I think 30 minutes or so. If we do see less participation, at least it's expected, I hope to try to get today's call done a little bit earlier, so that's not for my own sake. That's it. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started. We do have one topic that we're covering tonight, which is mainly the global public interest. So it shouldn't be too long, I believe. However, as you can see with our SOI updates, as you can see in our next slide, the agenda on slide 2, we have SOI updates, and I will just pause briefly to ask if anyone has an SOI update, and then I will turn it over to Jeff to talk about any other business, as well as to give a plenary update. So first, SOI updates. Does anyone have one? Hearing none, if you do, please make sure to put that in the chat or send it to the email list so that we can have that recorded. Okay, and then next I am going to turn it over to Jeff to talk about a plenary update or any other business as well. So Jeff, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, thanks. So just a quick update for those that were not on any of the other work track calls. We have two sessions at Abu Dhabi next week. The first session is on Saturday morning, and that goes from Saturday afternoon from 12:15 till 3, I believe, local time. That's going to cover work track updates and a few issues that each of the work tracks bring to the attention of the community. And the second session has been will be for work track 5. We, just for information, the geographic names at the top level used to be an item that was within our work track. We took that out, moved it to work track 5. We now have the leaders of Work Track 5, one from each SO and AC. So from the GAC, it's Olga. From the ALAC, it's Christopher Wilkinson. From the CCNSO, it's Annabeth Lang. And from the GNSO, Martin Sutton. We had a call with them earlier this week, and I think another call later this week to prepare for the sessions in Abu Dhabi, where we'll go over the terms of reference. And we hope to get that out so everyone can see it by tomorrow, along with a call for volunteers for Work Track 5. The other update, I want to actually just throw it over to Phil Buckingham, if he could just say a couple words, and then I'll come back in after him.
Yeah. Hi, can everybody hear me? Phil Buckingham, called. Thanks, Jeff. I'm sure you're all aware, literally in the last hour, I've sent everybody a detailed email because following discussions with the leadership team, I've decided that I need to stand down from my position co-chairing this work track with Michael. I'm very, very sad I'm in the situation, but that's why I've made the decision. So we obviously need to discuss a replacement for me. I mean, I'm resigning or standing down with immediate effect. Yes, we need to discuss it. If anybody would wish to step forward and to replace me. So I'll hand it back to Jeff, I guess. Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Phil, and we wish you the best, and hopefully you can continue to participate in some of these groups going forward. But as Phil said, we are going to be seeking someone, another volunteer for Work 2. So if anyone has an interest, please do volunteer. Michael's been doing a ton of work, shouldering a lot of the weight. But he could certainly use someone else to help, just as each of the other work tracks have another person or two people to help them out. So if we don't hear from anyone in the next couple days, we may reach out to some of you to try to convince you to volunteer, or some might say voluntold. But we'd love for someone to step forward on their own if they'd like to. And if we could have some volunteers to help us out in Abu Dhabi, that would be great. But please let us know if you're interested. And I think I will turn it back over to Mike to get the rest of the meeting going.
Thank you, Jeff. And with that, we will continue. If anyone does have any questions, then, like Jeff said, please feel free to reach out to us. So, moving forward, we're going to jump right into the... This is super small on my screen. For the discussion recap. Alrighty. First of all, as always, our goal is to move forward towards deliberation since proposals for step forward for the usual report. Excuse me. As part of our upcoming schedule, on the 28th of October will be our face-to-face meeting at ICANN, and depending on our discussion today and noting how little time we have left, I'm just thinking that we're probably going to move forward with discussing global public interest. We usually have about 30 minutes or so, and past experience has taught us that even if we prepare, I mean, although we do prepare for two topics to discuss, we are usually are only able to get through one. So we'll plan for two, but being one, and mainly being global public interest and having some extra backup time, having a backup one, if we do have extra time. But unless somebody has a particular request, I'll just pick one out of the hat. So let's go ahead and move forward with a discussion recap about where we are at now with global public interest. So I am now on slide 4. So our last discussion has actually seen us talking about, our last discussion on the global public interest was right before ICANN 59. We did have some action items on this, and we reached out to ICANN compliance for some feedback, and we will actually cover that right after the CC2 comments. The time we spent is rather minimal, of course, but what we did analyze at that time was that the public interest is, first of all, it's addressed in ICANN's bylaws and core values, and because the new GTLD program had to uphold these, there is a distant and there's a distant relation, but when you look at the policy itself that developed the public policy for new GTLDs, it was only brought up with in regards to the composition of the string, meaning it had to be up to the moral standards and good. I can't remember the exact wording, but basically, it had to be a nice-sounding string. And We went over the fact that mainly, especially what we've been talking about here, is that from the concerns addressed by GAC members and some community members, public interest commitments came about and were tied into the final register agreement in the form of Specification 11 as mandatory picks and volunteer picks. Now, Jeff and I have discussed this, and while we are going to bring up mandatory picks, it won't be the focus of today's call at this time. And Heather has mentioned in the chat that we could talk forever, and yes, we could. But today's outcome, or at least what we're looking at doing today, is we're looking at making sure we cover the CC2 comments. I think a good stopping point will be for us to look at the CC2 comments as well as look at the feedback, the questions we've sent to ICANN, and discuss on that for how we can move forward. We plan to have a bit more solidified for the next discussion in ICANN, but noting that there is an overlapping call, I didn't want to drag this out to the full 90 minutes. But if necessary, of course, we do have that time. So if anyone else has any questions on what is today's direction, I'll be happy to address those. So just a little bit really quickly, and I'm not going to go over these in detail, but the mandatory picks are addressed in the next slide with what they are. The registry operator will only use ICANN accredited registrar. The registry operator has to agree to specific public interest commitments, such as including provision in the registry registrar agreement that requires registrars to include their registration agreement, a provision prohibiting registrants from causing abuse with the domain. Sorry if I'm having to cough a little bit. but continuing, the registry operator also has to conduct technical analysis for domains, whether or not they are security threats, and report that information back to ICANN. The registry operator will also operate the TLD in a transparent manner. And the last part, which is not a discussion of today's call, of course, is the registry operator of a generic string may not impose eligibility criteria for registering names in the TLD that limit registrations exclusively to a single or person or entity. This will not be part of today's discussion. Now, the voluntary picks were covered in the Section 4 of Specification 11, and there's technically voluntary with, I'm doing air quotes here, of course nobody can see them, but they are voluntary where in the fact that basically many applicants that actually proposed voluntary picks as to what they would do, ICANN basically tied those into the registry agreement. Many applicants did file them. If there were early warnings issued by the GAC in November 2012, hoping that those picks would address any concerns that I did have. And within there, we have anti-abuse, additional RPMs, geographic protections, and also many reserve the right at sole discretion to modify or even eliminate those picks. So, where are we today? Well, today we're going to be covering the CC2 questions, as I said. Now, when I say questions, all your questions, what about Specification 11?
Yeah. Maybe that's next discussion.
With Specification 11, as in the
that's tied to picks.
Yes, it is tied to PICS, and that's we're not going to cover Specialization 11 in its entirety in regards to this, but basically the PIC discussion within that, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, it's somewhere in the agenda. Michael, I understand that we're not covering the Specification 11 today. I'm just kind of foreshadowing that at some point we do have to deal with it.
Yes, just what aspects of Specification 11 are you looking
at? Just the PICS, it impinges on the PICS, and it's just part of the sort of general discussion about PICS.
All right. Yeah, I think Jeff's got you've got your hand raised as well. I think that you're looking to address this, perhaps. Why don't you go ahead, Jeff?
Yeah. So this is Jeff Newman. The language that you see here on slides, not nine. Sorry, long slides here. On 5 and 6 are what's in Specification 11. So, aside from the ones that people voluntarily commit to or committed to, this is the crux of Specification 11. The enforcement of Specification 11 is something we still have yet to talk about, and part of that, or a big part of that, is the PIC DRP. Which I believe, I can't remember, Michael will correct me if that's work track 3 as up to this work track. But Specification 11 is broken down into mandatory PICS, which are these four that are on slides 5 and 6, and then the voluntary ones if someone voluntarily committed to them. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. So for some reason, I can't type in the chat. Don't know why. But if I do reset my Adobe, then you won't see me, so I'll just leave it to Jeff's explanation as well. So moving forward here with the CC2 comments. Now, questions. Now, the question, we only did have one question. And
Michael, are you on? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can anybody else hear me? Yes.
It's Alan. I can hear you, but you are somewhat muffled.
Muffled?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Seems we have some technical difficulties. Hold on just 1 minute. There's a reduce echo option. How's that sound? How's this one sound? Too loud?
You're hearable.
Hearable.
I don't know if Jeff can hear you or not.
Oh, Alan, I can hear you really well. That must be a nice microphone. Let's see. Okay, how's this sound?
You're sounding really good at my end. It's Alan speaking.
All right, then let's just keep soldiering forward here then. All right, Jeff's reloaded. Okay. So, we only had one question in the CC2 comments that dealt with this topic. Excuse me. So the question is, 2.9.1, the final issue report suggested that in considering the public interest, the working group think about concerns raised in GAC advice on safeguards, the integration of public interest commitments, PICS, and other questions around contractual commitments. Have PICS served their intended purpose? If not, what other mechanisms should be employed to serve the public interest. Please explain and provide supporting documentation to the extent possible. And in regards to commenting on this question, we have comments from the GAC that pointed to previous advice as well as comments in the CCTRT draft report. I read, and quote, hold on, I need to adjust my screen a little bit to see these slides. There we are. Please see GAC's submission to public commitments on CCTRT draft report. The following GAC advice is still current. Category 1 safeguards, released in the Beijing Communique 2013. Take dispute resolution, modify the dispute resolution process to ensure that non-compliance for pick strings is effectively and promptly addressed. Los Angeles Communique 2014. Reconsider the board's determination not to require the verification and validation of credentials of registrants for Category 1, new GTLDs, or to conduct periodic post-registration checks to ensure that registrants continue to possess valid credentials. Los Angeles Communique 2014. Amend the PIC specification requirement for Category 2 new GTLDs to include a non-discriminatory requirement to provide registrants an avenue to seek redress. Excuse me. Los Angeles Communique 2014. Alan, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the question was on the question we asked. The wording is, let me scroll back to it, integration of public interest commitments. I'm assuming that means since the board came up with the concept on the fly during the application process, that clause, that phrase is saying, should we incorporate it into the applicant guidebook going forward? Is that the correct interpretation of what that phrase means?
So yes, and that in that instance, it would be whether or not we actually integrate this into policy.
Okay.
The idea is that the idea is that if it's not broken, don't fix it. And at this point, there's no policy. Specifically, and Jeff asked if there actually was no GNSO policy. At least not within the new GTLD policy development in regards to the PIC. Development, but so for us to bring policy up to speed, it would either be able to integrate that or in order to
or eliminate,
choose a different path.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure that's what it meant.
No, that's fine. I'm just thinking I might want to get a drink of water here soon, but I'm going to go ahead and keep reading these comments. Let's see. So, yes, the NGPC, to publicly recognize the commitments of some registries and applicants to voluntarily adopt GAC advice regarding the verification and validation of credentials as best practice. Singapore Communique 2015. And reconsider the PIC DRP and develop a fast-track process regulatory authorities, government agencies, and law enforcement. Work with ICANN contract compliance to effectively respond to issues involving serious risks of harm to the public. Singapore Communique 2015. Excuse me. Alan, you have your hand up again. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Yes, I do. Something that isn't written in the GAC the GAC response here, but is implied, is in any future availability of TLDs, how do we determine what is Category 1 or Category 2 in you know, in the absence of the GAC after the fact putting them in that list. Because if indeed we are going to consider having certain rules for Category 1 or Category 2 type TLD strings, then we need some way of determining what they are. And the GAC was sort of silent on that. Not quite sure where it fits into our discussion, but if we are to try to follow that advice or even consider following it, we need to figure out how it is we would come up with the determination.
It's an interesting... No, that's an interesting put. Very good question indeed. I'm sure we would come up with them with a different weighted, with a different dress to them rather than Category 1 and Category 2. But let's keep that in mind and figure out how we can put that into policy here. For now, though, I'm just going to keep reading the comments. And like I said, we do have another point to talk about this at ICANN 60. So let's discuss there as well. So from the VTLD Consortium and NAVP, they recommended circumstances under which a registry should be required to operate as a verified TLD. The consortium believes that subsequent procedures for new GTLDs should require the registry to operate as a verified TLD if it, 1, is linked to regulated or professional sectors, 2, is likely to invoke a level of implied trust from consumers, or 3, has implications for consumer safety and well-being. Verified TLDs contribute to improved consumer protection through registrant verification prior to domain name use and through ongoing monitoring of the domain space for compliance with registry standards. So I think this is kind of similar with what Alan was looking at. How do we define those Category 1 and Category 2? Excuse me. At the same time, I think this also kind of ties in with our discussion on registry types a little bit. But in this instance, this is looking at the aspect not necessarily what you would willfully volunteer to what you would willfully do in how you write your application saying I will be a verified TLD, but what should actually be a verified TLD. But this can also get into discussion. Again, how do we define what is the public interest? And it kind of ties together what is going to invoke a level of implied trust from consumers. So very difficult discussion indeed. So it is, if another comment from this was from the NABT solely, but it is crucial that registries within the health and medical marketplace have mandatory policies in place to screen online drug sellers and other health practitioner websites for proper credentials. Yes, I think there's a few other sessions that are having meetings right now, so we may be losing some people, but let's get as far as we can. On page slide 11, we have comments from the ALAC. And the ALAC reiterated concerns about PICs and stated that trust can be increased through restrictions on who can become a registrant on how the new name. I'm hearing a lot of background noise, whatever that is. Can you please mute your microphone? On how the new name is used. Quote. Oh, Jeff, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Well, I thought I could try to help save your voice a little bit. Maybe Alan, since Alan was with the ALAC, maybe Alan wants to give a little bit of a background on this comment and can probably describe it without reading it. Sorry, Alan, to put you on the spot, but poor Michael's needs some water.
Sure, I'll talk to it. Michael, you want to still keep trying?
No. Try. No, I'll let you do it, Alan, and I thank you. I just wanted to say thank you.
All right. I'm really, really bad at reading things online, so I'm not going to do that. This comment really focuses around the same issue as the GAC was saying, although, you know, they were the ones who originated the idea of Category 1, Category 2. The concept, although we did not agree with the GAC on the exact list because we felt that they were overreaching in a few of them, the overall concept is that if you are talking about a TLD, which is a regulated industry or does imply health and well-being, then there should be some level of confidence. A user should have some level of confidence that they can trust it. And that implies that we should not be allowing completely open and freely usable TLDs in areas where the subject matter has particular onerous implications. And that's with the full understanding that some words in the English language can be used multiple ways. And, you know, that's the whole discussion of doctor. But when at least one of the uses is a significant use and does have well-being issues related to it, then, you know, we think you have to take the safe route, potentially at the expense of, a completely open and free market. We haven't seen the CCTL. I haven't read the CCT review team's final comment, but certainly their draft report said there are in implications of this in related to consumer trust, and one of the downsides of a TLD such as .pharmacy or .bank, which are doing some level of restriction, is once a consumer sees that, they may be presuming that every other TLD that has similar implications is also verified. And it's one of these, you know, situations that we're convincing you with .bank that we're doing a good job, and therefore when you go to .doctor, you may get surprised. So the ALAC, like the GAC, is very concerned about the way uneducated or less educated people, I'm not talking about number of years of school, may make assumptions based on the names, the content of the TLDs. And although ICANN is not a content organization, the semantics of the TLDs that we are authorizing cannot be completely ignored. That's not the words that we use there, but that's certainly a substance of it. We also had some concern about optional picks, you know, where they could be written but then retracted. And the whole issue related to public interest, we believe, is something that we cannot avoid looking at in much more detail this go-around.
Thank you, Alan. Jeff, you have your hand raised, but before you do, I do note that John Nevitt has probably something he wants to say. I'm going to assume you're not in a location where I speak, but I would invite you to
No,
come.
I can speak.
Oh, okay. Would you like to bite
my tongue a little? Thanks, Michael. John Nevitt. Yeah, I just wanted to bite my tongue a little because, you know, Alan's presenting this as Doc Doctor, as TLD with people holding themselves out as licensed medical practitioners, but they aren't. You know, that's the risk. That's why people wanted to keep doctor limited to only licensed medical practitioners, as opposed to PhDs or lawyers or any other use of the generic term doctor, lawn doctor, computer doctor, and I found that reprehensible, right? It's with free expression of a generic word. Maybe we're not supposed to use the word generic, but we'll say dictionary word. That people in the ICANN community wanted to restrict the use of a term like doctor to one part of its usage. It was highly problematic. And finally, saner folks made a decision that it didn't have to be limited to that. We have not received not one complaint of anyone using a doctor site for anything inappropriate, let alone a licensed medical practitioner or someone holding themselves out as a licensed medical practitioner and then not being one. So if we don't have data, and CCTRT did not provide any data of this kind of usage that would be problematic, then we shouldn't be making regulatory decisions in a vacuum because someone has a gut feeling that someone at some point could use a doctor or some other site, some other name inappropriately, where they could just go to doctor.com and do whatever the hell they want. So I urge you not to take action at this point until we get some more data. I'm fine waiting for the data. For CCTRT wants to come up with data, that's great. We could use that. But let's stop trying to make policy based on gut instinct. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I know Jeff has his hand raised, and then Gigi has his hand raised, and Jeff, and then Alan has his hand raised.
Sorry, I had another point that I needed to respond to. Hey, Michael, sorry, well, I had another point I needed to respond to.
I'm sorry, yeah. John, do you want to go ahead?
The other point was Alan keeps on raising this issue about voluntary picks. These were voluntary, right? Only 30%, I believe, some site like a number like that, of registries actually did these picks. So these were voluntary. These were respond to early warnings saying, here's what we're planning to do. That doesn't mean that we have to have it in there forever. So, yes, we put in a sunset. Others put in a sunset. We've had a right to remove these voluntary picks that we put in other registries then. We've had a right to remove these picks for now, 18 months, and we haven't done it. There's no requirement. They're voluntary, right? Only 30% of people did it. The registries did it. So I don't know why you keep on harping on voluntary versus mandatory and saying that the voluntary ones that could go away aren't worth anything. Maybe that's your impression. Maybe they're not. And maybe that's fine, but we're only one of the few registries that did it. So, again, if we want to come up with a system that is the same or different, it doesn't matter to me, but, you know, the voluntary picks signaled to the community, this is what we're planning to do. These are our principles. This is what we're standing behind. And we did them. Others didn't want to issue those principles or those requirements. These are now contractual requirements, but they didn't want to do it, and that's fine too. But for us who went the extra mile to do it, to now get criticized because we had a sunset available to us, that doesn't seem appropriate to me either. So, it's very frustrating. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Just before I turn to Gigi, and I know Alan has his hand raised as well, but from what Alan was saying, it's not a point of advocacy, but presenting what the ALAC position was, just for clarity. And now I'm going to turn to Gigi and then to Alan. So Gigi, you go ahead.
Thank you. This is Gigi Levine. I just wanted to respectfully correct John's statement that there is no data saying that there is propensity for fraud on the internet, and maybe I'm misunderstanding what he was saying, but in the case of that pharmacy, NABP became the registry operator for that pharmacy because of the vast amount of fraud happening in the pharmacy space online. And in terms of data, NABP has reviewed over 11,000 websites selling prescription drugs online and found 97% of them to be operating illegally. And yes, this is specific to the United States, but we know that this happens globally, and Dot Pharmacy is a global program, and we do look at entities that are operating legally where the in the location that they are based according to that jurisdiction's laws. So there is a vast amount of data available showing that that there is a need to identify which registrants are deserving of of a trustworthy name and which ones aren't. So I do.
Yeah, if I can reply. I'm sorry. Michael, if I can reply to that, because I didn't say anything like that. This is obviously this.
Can we please honor the speaker cue here?
Yeah, I could. I can't reply.
Yes, let's. No, John, I think Alan just means we'll just honor the cue. If your reply is a few sentences, then go ahead. But if not, I'd like to have Alan and then you go ahead.
All I wanted to say in reply was that I didn't say what the speaker said. I said so. I obviously know that there's fraud and with the anti-pharmacy the folks on all our names. So yeah, I'm totally aligned with what you just said, Gigi.
Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Several times in these work track calls, reviewing comments, I have asked when are we going to debate the various issues and try to come to closure and make decisions. And I've been told each time that the process we're going through right now is simply reviewing and making sure we understand the comments. I didn't put my hand up. I was asked to present the ALAC comments by Jeff to give your voice a break. I was happy to do that. That was all I was doing. And I think it's quite inappropriate to start going into a debate on the substance here and do it without any opportunity for people to have give and take. I just think this is a waste of our time, and I'm well easily prepared to just get off of this call and do other things that are more useful. If we're going to start lapsing into things because someone has a personal interest and disagrees with what the ALAC said, this is not the time to do that. Or if it is, no one told me it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jeff, you have something that you want to say as well. And then I'd like to respond, of course, as soon as we finish our current queue.
Yeah, thanks. Alan, I think now is the time to also talk about views and get them out and to debate. So I would very much encourage you to get back in the queue and give your view. One thing that worries me going forward, which is sort of an aspect of this, and this is my personal view, not any co-chair view, but one thing that concerns me is that for a space that has validated top-level domains has validated domains within their top-level domain, like a dot pharmacy or a dot bank, what worries me are applicants in the future that set up a similar type of space but without the validation requirements. So on a personal level, you know, if pharmacies, dot pharmacy takes such a, you know, care in validating their registrants, to make sure they're verified through whatever process they use, that anyone who applies for something similar like, I know plurals is a different aspect that we've talked about a couple, but, you know, take any synonym of, take any synonym of pharmacy. If someone applies to that drugstore, you know, I think there is a consumer confusion issue that could give us all issues in the future. Don't know how to deal with that. Maybe others have suggestions, but that's one issue that's concerned me a little bit, just as, on a personal capacity. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I just want to bring up clarity in regards to what we are currently doing here. We are going through the comments, and we're seeing what individuals that responded to CC2 that are not necessarily in the normal working track meetings that we have. But at the same time, we are allowing members within the working track to respond and to offer feedback in regards to what these comments are. Decisions are made from based upon the discussions that we have, not these comments alone, of course. But they do, of course, feed into the overall decisions that we make. So that is what we are doing here with the CC2 comments. Gigi, I know you still have your hand up. I'm going to assume that's old hand. Does anyone else have something they would like to say at this point? Hearing none, I will just state as well that this is the time to debate these issues. And if there is personal viewpoints, then please, I ask that they be brought up. Holly, if your hand up, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just repeat what I've, Holly Race for the record, what I put in the chat, and I really, this is a question how to deal with it, but if you read the sort of draft report from the CCRT, it talks about customer expectations of there being some connection between the new GTLD and the actual site. Now, it doesn't go much further than that, and it's a fairly general statement in that report, but it sort of picks up some of the conversation that's been going on. So putting that issue, I'm not sure where we deal with it and whether PICS deal with it or not or whether Categories 1 and 2 deal with it, but it's just sitting there in the background that we can deal with now or later.
Holly, and I think we have a discussion with the leadership team to look at dependence within each individual work track. I don't have that information in front of me right now, but this could be, within this discussion at least, the Category 1 and 2 advice could be a dependent in regards to that consumer protection that were raised in the CCTRT. Would anyone else like to comment? But Holly, we will look at that, and bring that forward as well. Hopefully by ICANN 60.
Thank you.
So we do have one more. Oh, sorry. No, we have a few more comments, but John Poole recommended additional mechanisms. Additional mechanisms are needed in due consideration of concerns raised in GAC advice and elsewhere need to address incorporated as appropriate in the registry agreements, terms and conditions, and elsewhere as appropriate. So that column looks at having additional mechanisms as being necessary. Jeff, you have your hand raised. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I just might as well repeat something I put in the chat. So Holly raised the point about the CCTRT, and yes, they recommended and probably will likely recommend in the final, I would assume, that consumers have an expectation that the string is in some way related to the purpose of the TLD or whatever the words that, Holly, you might have used the right words. I don't remember exactly how they said it. But I do note that there's a difference between a connection versus ensuring someone's safety with it. Now, my concern was more specifically about a space that was already established and then someone comes in, you know, in essence taking the goodwill of that space or making others think that theirs, because it's similar, has the same standards. But in general, you know, I think we need to be very careful when we say that a connection is the same thing as ensuring someone's or trying to ensure someone's safety. So John will tell you, John Nevitt will say, absolutely there's a connection between Doc Doctor and all of the registrations in there, whether it's a doctor or medical doctor, a juris doctor, a PhD, there's certainly a connection. And, of course, they're marketing it to create the expectation that anyone that's got a doctor of some sort, maybe not medical. But that's very different than having an expectation that no matter what game you go into, it's going to be safe and secure and that it's going to, you know, protect the consumer against anything bad that could possibly happen. So I think we just need to, you know, understand that there's a difference there. And Holly says she agrees with that. So thanks.
Jeff. There are no more raised hands. I'm going to go ahead and continue forward. So this is a big slide. Got to zoom in. I'm going to start my new reading glasses here. So the registry stakeholder group, the BRG, the Brand Register Group, and affiliates stated that TICs have served their purpose and recommended no other additional mechanisms. Affiliates, the TICs have served their intended purpose and no other mechanisms are required. The Registry Stakeholder Group and BRG, TICs have well served their purpose, though the process by which voluntary TICs were solicited and submitted was clumsy, mistimed, and rushed. While PICs have satisfactorily addressed public interest concerns and may have been a reasonable vehicle for registries to individually address matters of concern raised by the community in future rounds, it would be far more advisable to draw a bright line of finality. Finality once those matters are considered and concluded by the full community, including the GAC, thereby reducing the risk that an individual application or group of applications will be held in limbo for an extended period. This will improve predictability, avoid delays, and otherwise maintain an orderly process. At present, the ROISG recommends no further mechanisms versus PICs, except to allow proposed PICs by registries in the application, followed by an ability to add further PICs following the GAC early warning round. The Registry Stakeholder Group advises that the learnings from the current round will very well inform the formation of the next, and those learnings, along with better definitions of community roles and processes, should be expected to provide finality and predictability prior to the opening of a new round. Jeff, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, one question I'd like to ask is that if we do keep a model like PICs, and assuming PICs are made at a time after which the public comments and the government comments, it's basically to those comments. Are we also agreed that we can use the PIC process to change someone's application if specifically intended to address the comments that are raised? I think we're saying yes, but I want to make sure that we all agree with that. And if so, come to some conclusion. We do believe applications, at least at some point, may be changed to address concerns from the community, because that's not something that ICANN admitted to allowing in the last round. They basically said that nothing could change, but you could still file picks, which was kind of weird, because if those picks that you filed changed your application, you were then subject to an objection or something like that. I just want everyone to just kind of think about that and make sure that they agree with the notion that applicants should be able to change their application to address specific concerns brought up in the comment period, whether it's the public comment or the GAC comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I think that's one thing we looked at in the terms and conditions as well. Let's make sure we have a note of that. And one thing I want to bring up, so it seems that the Registered Stakeholder Group is talking more so about voluntary picks based upon what, based upon the GAC early warning advice or community input, doesn't mention community input, but assuming that there is a problem that applicants be able to introduce voluntary picks rather than having them forced upon. Is that the correct, do you think that's the correct notion? Sorry, does anyone disagree with that notion here that's being presented? So specifically speaking, these would be probably be voluntary picks that are being set here. So just to make sure we go forward, Janik, whose name, last name I always must apologize for if I can't pronounce it correctly, Janik Scow, stated that there should be there should be no mandatory safeguards. Excerpt: there should be no set of mandatory safeguards, regardless whether a regulated sector TOD or not, which sectors are not regulated. That ICANN should invest in consumer education on how to detect and avoid fraud. Bank fraud and other types of fraud can be just as serious under .com or CCTLDs as under .bank or .finance, for instance. If GAC ICANN decides to keep safeguards, these should not be allowed to be added after the announcement of the application window, and the requirements to enter into agreements with sector industries should be deleted. This is hard to define. This is hard to find, define in all cases, and GTLDs can be international. I don't see Janik here to offer further input, but is there anyone that would like to respond to this? Hearing none, I think we have picked at the picks long enough today. thank you for laughing. Alan, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I will respond. I think the concept of saying ICANN should be responsible for educating 3.7 billion people and making sure that they're successful at it is slightly overreach.
Thank you, Alan. In my neutral position, I can't say yes or no, but definitely noting that. And, oh, agree. John agrees with you, and I think I do, too, in a personal capacity. But, like I said, not in that position right now. however, before we do say goodbye today, there is one last piece of one last action item that we have to take care of. And could I have Steve or Emily or Julie or Michelle bring up the the ICANN compliance feedback that we had asked for? Originally, we had asked ICANN compliance for some specific data about PIC complaints, PIC DRP, how well this has been used. And I'm sorry, my memory is a little bit foggy, and I was trying to find records of it last night, but has this been shared with the full working group as of yet? The full working track? I don't believe it has, but this is data that we got back and we decided to go through in our second pass. Have any of you seen this as of yet? Is this first time seeing it? Yeah, we'll make sure it's sent out again. I'm just thinking this is whether or not this is the time to cover it, or if we should send it out and address it at ICANN 60 next time. So I agree with Jeff on that. So what we'll do is we'll make sure this is sent out. Let's look at it first, and then we'll address it. With that, I am going to give everyone 30 minutes of their time, and those in two calls at the current time, let them rest one of their, maybe their third ear or their second ear, depending on how many calls they're listening to. And I'm going to say thank you for being with us this week, and we'll see you at ICANN 60. Safe travels, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned. Have a great day. Have a great day.